For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This show is brought to you by Lewis Peters State Farm, agency representing the number one auto and home insurer in the United States for more than 60 years combined experience in the insurance industry. Local agents that understand South Florida's unique market, you have access to them 24/7, walk-in, call-in, click-in through lewispeters.com. You can find them online on social media at SF Agent Peters, or you can call at 305-275-5585. Remember, lewispeters.com. It's football season, and it's time to make your way over to MyBookie. They've got deposit matches, free bets, and huge cash prize contests for you to take advantage of all season long. NFL action? Check. College ball? Check. Plus, they have a mobile-friendly website and top-of-the-line customer service, making their platform a one-stop shop for all betting needs. MyBookie offers action on everything from championship futures to NFL in-game live betting, making sure you've covered every step of the way. Sign up at MyBookie today, and when you do, use promo code 3YARDS to claim a halfway match on your deposit. If you put in $200, they'll spot you another $100 to play with. That's promo code 3YARDS so you can claim your bonus when you make your deposit. Sign up today to begin your winning season exclusively at MyBookie. This show is brought to you by PrizePicks. PrizePicks is a revolutionary new daily fantasy game whereby you pick 2, 3, or 4 players to go over or under their fantasy point projections, and if you're correct, you win. Pick 2 or more players from the same sport or league, or go cross leagues for your parlay. Use the promo code 5, that's F-I-V-E, 5, and receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100. But first, sign up at prizepicks.com to start winning today.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And welcome to another episode of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Chris Kaufman. I'm here with Alf Arteaga. We are not here with Simon Clancy today. He is on a very loud, noisy train, and if we plugged him in right now, it would just be annoying for everybody involved. So no Simon Clancy. Today, we're going to do the preview episode. This is the preview episode for the upcoming game. It's Tua Palooza, who Tua Tagovailoa is, of course, starting this weekend against the Los Angeles Rams. We kind of take a little bit of pride in these preview episodes because, Alf, I don't know if you've been paying attention, but we've been pretty good at these.
Yes, we have.
I mean, just to pat ourselves on the back and break my arm off doing it. You know, of course, the Buffalo Bills second game of the season, we all were like, we're going to lose that game. We didn't start off so good, though, before that with the New England Patriots. I think you and I both thought we were going to win that. But
we were seeing into the future where.
Yeah, we weren't wrong. We were just early.
Complete trash right now.
Yeah, we weren't wrong. We were just early. We just didn't think the Patriots were going to be that good. And now the Patriots are not that good. But
yeah, and their quarterback is basically saying that their season is over if they lose to the Bills on Sunday. So go Bills, yeah. Right?
Yeah, go Bills, right? Yeah, end their season and preclude them from getting Trevor too, I hope. Yeah. But no, I mean, seriously, you know, okay, we steered you wrong on that one, but we got the Buffalo one right. And then the Jacksonville one came around. And I thought this was interesting because the Jags had won in week one against the Indianapolis Colts. And then the following week against the Tennessee Titans, very strong team, they took them to the wire. Like it was 33-30. I mean, they were really close. And Alf and I told you, you know, because of the matchups, Dolphins are going to win this game. Dolphins were 0-2 at the time. We had no reason to say that. Mm-hmm. I mean, just give us a little credit on that. And of course, we all thought they were going to lose the Seattle Seahawks. And of course they did. San Francisco 49ers. Alf and I did this preview episode, I remember. And we had absolutely no right to say this, but we both said the Dolphins were going to win that game.
Yes.
Had no right to say that.
And felt good about it.
We felt good about it too.
Not only do we feel good about it, but we ended up being wrong because we thought that they would win a slugfest and kick a field goal to win it.
Well, yeah, I mean, hey, whatever.
Yeah, we didn't have the game being over 18 minutes in.
Yeah, well, I mean, the game was over 18 minutes in because the San Francisco 49ers decided to disastrously start this this big, tall drink of water at corner who hadn't played since 2018 and was a safety at Utah. And they decided to play him at outside corner and have him matched up against us all day long. And we just went after him. We scored three touchdowns because of that guy. Like right off the bat.
Yeah.
And it's not like all directly, the touchdowns were not all directly on him, although I know at least one of them were. But like the big plays on the drive that got us down the field, it was all that dude. Pass interference too. I mean, I'm including it all in there. So we called that one, and a little bit of credit for that one. And then of course the New York Jets, everybody knew we were going to win that game. I mean, we're actually
kind of upset that, you know, they won the way that they won, you know, just 24-0.
Yeah. I mean, it was like 24-0 and we're like upset they should have won by more.
Yeah. I really wanted 40 points, but
you know. I mean, it's, the Jets are a bad team. They beat themselves. So, I mean, they're very good at beating themselves, actually, the Jets.
Yeah, they beat themselves every time they get on the plane to go to a visiting city.
They beat themselves every time they take the field. So, okay. So now we have the Los Angeles.
I gotta interrupt you. Sean Jones. Okay. Sean Jones of the Kansas City Chiefs. Great player. Mm-hmm. He was asked about the Jets, and he said, they're a really good football team. You just forget that because they haven't won a game this year.
I remember that. Yeah, that was Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Sean Jones, a safety?
You know where I'm getting Sean Jones from? Sean Jones was a great defensive tackle for the Houston Oilers in the 90s. That's how you know I'm old.
And Sean Combs is. Yeah, so now we got the Los Angeles Rams, Alf. They're coming to Miami. We're playing on this Sunday at 1:00. And this is Tua's first start. He's had 2 weeks. You know, reports are good as far as how they're looking in practice. But it is my understanding that you are now a Rams expert, like card carrying. Like you've been accepted, secret handshake with Rams people. Like you did a podcast. Things happened. They said things. You said things.
Yes. I also did my yard work series. The Dolphins weren't playing anybody. So I said, what am I going to do this week so I can keep my viewers, you know, because I'm getting like, you know, over 1,000 viewers on my yard work series. So I decided, why don't I break down the LA Rams? Well, so I took like five plays to break down what they actually like to do on defense and on offense. And that's on the Five Reasons Network's YouTube account. So yes, I've watched too much Rams football this week.
You know what's interesting to me is like you've become a Rams expert this week, and so I'm going to pitch you a lot of these questions, and we're gonna get into it. And whenever I watch them, I feel like you know how sometimes when you're in school, like you'd read a book, and then like you get done with a page, and you're just like, what did I just see, or what did I just read? Like I can't remember any of what I just read. I watched the Rams. I can't remember anything of what I just saw. Like I don't know why that is. But that's just like, they're just completely uninteresting to me. They're not bad. And they're a good team, but I mean, they're just not very interesting to me, but we'll pitch it to you. We'll get your thoughts. First off, I think we do want to start on, I guess, well, let's go right for the offensive side of the ball. We'll call this the offensive side of the balls because you can tell me how you can take offense. Now this is terrible.
Well,
tell us how to prepare your balls. Tell us how to prepare your balls.
I'm much better at this than you are, Chris. So the proper way to say it was, you know, if you're not shaving your balls for this game on Sunday, then you're just not a Dolphin fan.
No, so, I really wanted to attack a side of the ball, like go with an attack of a certain side of the balls thing.
Well, have you seen Andrew
Whitworth? And it just didn't come out right.
Well, have you seen Andrew Whitworth's head?
I have.
That's what we're shooting for, okay?
Okay, that is what we're shooting for.
On Sunday, okay? That's what we're shooting for on Sunday. You got to use the Lawnmower 3.0, okay? If you want to look like Andrew Whitworth's head, That's what you want to shoot for. You don't want to look like Jalen Ramsey's head. All right. Like that would be a problem. Okay. You got to use 5RSN. That's the promo code, 20% off your order. We've sold so many of these things that I think we might get shares in the company soon. So 5RSN Manscaped. Go get it.
You hear that, people? If you want to be good on both sides of the balls, Manscaped. That's what I was going for. That's it. It came out. Okay. So anyway, we're going to talk about the Rams now. And we want to talk about the offense for the Dolphins, right? Because this is Tua Tagovailoa. He's starting. Mm-hmm. This is it. Like people are strapping it and they're getting ready. They got the popcorn. They, you know, everything. They're sneaking. Some of them are sneaking popcorn in, you know, instead of buying it. But, you know, this is the showcase. So tell me what to expect from the Dolphins on offense against the Rams defense.
Patience. You got to be patient. If you watch the Rams on tape as much as I have this week, unfortunately, they'll give you all you want in the short zone. Like if you want to take a bunch of 3-yard completions, you could do that all day. Now, usually you don't win football games that way, right? You do when you break tackles, and that's what the 49ers did against them a couple weeks back.
I see.
You got to be patient. They don't disguise much. They're pretty vanilla. As far as Aaron Donald, I know everybody's, you know, scared to death of Aaron Donald all week, but you can find him. He lines up in very, very simple places. He lines up over the tackle. He lines up in three tech occasionally in 1B, 1A on either side of the center shoulder, but that's very rare. You're talking about 2 or 3 times a game. He's found in between the guard and the tackle and sometimes over the tackle, and that's it. So you can locate him. As far as what they do on, you know, on defense on third downs, Jalen Ramsey travels to the slot now, and he's been doing that much more this year. He traveled very little against Allen Robinson. I tried to find an instance where he would follow the other team's best receiver this year, and I couldn't find one. They tend to just leave him on one side, and that's where he plays. Against the 49ers, they seem to be really, really – they seem to care about Deebo Samuel and where he lined up, and they had him follow him around. But otherwise, he was just out there. And then –
giving Deebo a lot of respect. That's an interesting choice.
Yes. Like, they were very mindful of where Deebo Samuel was with Jalen Ramsey. And then I think I said it on the Yardwork series – if you line up in, let's say, 22 personnel, okay? And for those that don't know what 22 personnel is, let's say the Dolphins line up with 2 tight ends, Gaskin and Chandler Cox, okay? That means you got 1 wide receiver on the field, right? Okay, you can't flex the formation to force Jalen Ramsey onto a tight end. He will go to wherever that wide receiver is and take him. Like, that's something that they just do. They just, you know... they reflexively do that. And sometimes when you go twins on one side with a tight end and a wide receiver, like let's say they line up Gesicki and Parker on one side and Ramsey is on that side, he'll call the switch consistently every time for the wide receiver. He doesn't switch onto tight ends ever unless they design it for him to be head up on a tight end, which they did against San Francisco against George Kittle. So, you know, they do very simple things, and they're really not that hard to diagnose.
So they traded, what was it again? Was it 2 first-round picks that they traded for Jalen Ramsey? Mm-hmm. So the point that I'm taking from this is that they are intent on getting their absolute best money's worth from Jalen Ramsey to the point where they'll have him travel around with even a guy that's not necessarily – you know, they're just going to have them go against whoever they think your biggest receiving threat is.
Yes.
Period. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And the 49ers tried to do that a bunch of times. The 49ers, you could see, because one thing that the Rams do, and it's kind of interesting, when you line up it with these big sets, like 22 personnel, we already established what 22 personnel is, so I'm not going to explain it again. If you try to line up with that and then try to take a shot on them, like the 49ers did with Brandon Ayuk, you know, he's going to run all the way across the field and then cover him man-to-man. So, you know, you're not going to get them by formation because in that game, Jalen Ramsey was at left cornerback for like a quarter and a half. He wouldn't travel. And then the 49ers tried to line up George Kittle as essentially as a wide receiver on the right side, right on top of Jalen Ramsey. And Jalen Ramsey said, look to the backfield, look to the sideline, and said, No, I'm going to go take Ayuk. You come over here and you take this tight end. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to bury me out here with Kittle so they could take a shot with Ayuk on the other side. Yeah. I'm not going to allow that. I'm going to go take the wide receiver. So
interesting.
Yeah. They're very, very mindful of those things.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking at it, it looks like, you know, he's spent 310 snaps at wide corner, 110 snaps at slot. His wide corner work is pretty much 50-50 left and right. And it's everything that you're talking about, and 40 snaps in the box too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's clear that this is the guy. I mean, they spent so much on him that this is the guy that they're moving around to really take away. So what do you expect him with the Dolphins? You expect him to be on, I mean, pretty much he's just going to be on Devontae Parker, right? I mean, he's going to try to shut him down.
I would say that that's what they should be trying to do. Right. And if I had to guess, yeah, I would say that they do that. And then on third down, maybe you see him in the slot. Maybe they've advanced scouted us enough where they think, you know, Tua might want to get to some of the stuff that's closer to him, might not want to go outside on 3rd and 5, 3rd and 6. So let's play Ramsey in the slot, and maybe we could pop him off with blitzes. Cause I don't know what your numbers say, but they also do send him on plenty of blitzes during the game. Right. So, you know, he's everywhere and he will line up everywhere, but yeah, I'm really not sure what he will do. I am certain he's just not going to sit on one side of the field all game. I'm certain that's not going to happen.
Yeah, that's I mean, his history doesn't seem to suggest that will happen. But so tell me about Terrell Burgess being out, because he didn't play much, right? I mean, he had only played like 49 snaps this year, but you actually thought that this might be have an impact on the game.
Yeah, well, I just saw him in the last couple of games, and he was popping, and he was a guy that they were talking about during the Bears game as a guy that had supplanted Taylor Rapp in the starting lineup, and was a guy that was going to get more snaps going forward. He got injured, and now he's out for the year. So, you know, that's that for Terrell Burgess. So they're going to go back to some of the things that they had before, and maybe that's good. Maybe Taylor Rapp has learned his lessons from getting supplanted by Terrell Burgess, but we shall see, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't bank on that. Just knowing Taylor Rapp. I mean, anyway, I think he's physically limited. But one thing I noticed, and I want to get your opinion on this, because okay, we're talking about Jalen Ramsey, and obviously he's going to be moved around. He's their queen on the chessboard, and they're going to use him how they're going to use him. And they're going to want to take away probably Devontae Parker. But what about Darius Williams? Because Darius Williams is the guy that plays the other side, wide corner. He plays a wide corner position, right? Mm-hmm. He spent 373 snaps there and one snap in the slot. Right. So I think we know what this guy is. He's 5'9". And 187 pounds. Who's he going to go against?
Yeah,
Preston Williams.
Right.
So what do you? I mean, what do you think there? Do you think that's something that we could take advantage of?
I think Darius Williams is the wrong guy to have against Tua Tagovailoa, because nobody's ever said this about him, but it's kind of obvious. I think, and they asked him, you know, what did you do with your bye week? And he looked at him like if he said, you know, like, you know, did you paint your house this week? Because when he was asked that question, what did you do with your bye week, Tua looked at him and said, I was here. Like,
yeah, right.
Like, I didn't go anywhere. Like, where am I going to go? I was here, you know? So, yeah, I'm pretty sure he knows exactly. He's going to locate him. And let's give Chan Gailey some credit. You know, this guy's really, really up to the job. And he's going to have Tua prepared, and Tua's going to know where Darius Williams is at all times.
Yeah.
And if the Rams do what they traditionally do, which is they try to disguise really they're too deep with some type of quarters look, or they drop into quarters, or they line up like if they're in quarters and then just man up and play too deep. Like those are really simple things. And I said it earlier today, they do things that, you know, if, that Tua has traditionally smoked. All right. Because, you know, this is like, you know, A-level defensive stuff. You tend to leave big, wide spots in the defense when you try to flex out of what looks like a quarters look into like a man up too deep. Mm-hmm. Or if you're in a man up too deep and then you try to get into a quarters, like you're handing 5-yard completions all you want.
Yeah.
If Tua sees that, just take 5-yard completions. Like, that's a really easy way to win games, right?
Well, okay, so I want to get your opinion on this then. And, you know, since you dug so deep into the Rams, and I know we're spending a lot of time on the Miami's offensive side of the ball, but I think that's where the fans care about right now. So,
yeah.
Okay, the RPO game. This is it, right? This is the game to unleash it, right? Mm-hmm. We've got a situation that we've long talked about with possibly, I mean, one, I saw that Daniel Jeremiah cited a GM that was talking to him, an NFL GM that said that Tua Tagovailoa is the best RPO quarterback that he's ever seen, ever. Hmm. And he was just known for the RPO game at Alabama. I mean, we don't have to go through all the history again. I think we can take this as a given. Chan Gailey, one of the first things Chris Greer said about him when we hired him is, you know, hey, Chan Gailey was doing the RPO thing before it was cool. and he was. I mean, that's a fact. That's a fact. I mean, you go back to, you can go back to his Pittsburgh days with Cordell Stewart. But I do know that he installed the pistol offense in Kansas City when he was there. He had Tyler Thigpen at quarterback. I thought that was super impressive, and they actually succeeded with that. So anyway, you got Chan Gailey, who's got a history using all these different ideas. You got Tua Tagovailoa, who is an RPO, you know, expert in, for the college realm anyway. And now you've got a Miami offense. And this is something I've talked about on Twitter. Next Gen Stats says that the Miami offense, if you go from the two players on the outside of the formation, usually two wide receivers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Distance between them. Miami operates the widest offense in the NFL, and it's by a good distance too. Like, we operate one of the most spaced out offenses in the NFL. Now, why is this good for the RPO game? Well, you're going to throw a lot of in breakers with the RPO stuff, and you take advantage. Yeah, you create space. You create a bigger alley for the safety to try and shut down. And then it helps with the run game too. I mean, and Chan Gailey, one of the ways he's tried to revive this run game is by creating space. So RPO mixes with wide formations really well. So you've got wide formation that's already been established with Ryan Fitzpatrick. You've got Tua Tagovailoa, the RPO specialist. You've got Chan Gailey, who's very, very familiar with the concept and can put it in. This is the game, right? Or are they just going to pull a fast one on us?
I don't know. I think it has to be the game, because I'll tell you another thing that the Rams do. They have this on-off system, which is they do it with Ebukam and Leonard Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
If you cover them, meaning, and this is another, I know I'm getting deep into the weeds here with the lingo. Cover just means that you put a tight end over them. Okay. If you cover them, they come off, which means that they get 1 yard off of the line of scrimmage.
Mm.
If you uncover them, they come up to the line of scrimmage. Okay. They do this all the time. You can manipulate them like that for the RPO. Mm. And I'll believe it when I'll see it, if they really do it. But I would say that that's going to be a huge part of the game plan. I think Tua is going to be reading Ebukam and Leonard Floyd all day for the RPO. And he could be handing to Breda or throwing it past Leonard Floyd's head all game, if he wants to, because it's an extreme tell that the Rams have, but it seems to be working for them so far. You know, maybe it's the offenses that they've played against haven't really dug into that too much, but it's a huge tell and it should help Tua.
Now, just to give the listeners something to think about and look at when they're seeing the game, I think they can recognize an RPO that's a post snap read, right? When the quarterback is reading a player for the RPO, and they see the mesh and everything. But there are a lot of RPOs that are pre-snap reads, right? I mean, so these are pre-snap reads. You count the box You've got players running route combinations. You've also got offensive line blocking, and you make your pre-snap read and you commit to it, and you get right into your throw or your handoff, I guess. And it's not really a post-snap thing. So some of these, I only put that out there just because, like, you know, they could be running RPOs and sometimes you just don't even notice it, I guess.
Yeah.
So, just to give you a little warning out there, but I agree with you. I think that he's going to be reading those guys and they're going to unleash it in this game. I think this is the game to do it. This sounds like the opponent to do it against, and certainly it's the quarterback, and they've already established wide spacing. So they may know what's coming, but hey, listen, everybody in the college sphere knows that the RPO is coming. That doesn't mean
and by the way, I'm not coming off the mountain with the tablets here. They know what they do as far as their defense. It's not that they're stubborn. It's just they have success from it. They have counters to our counters, but yeah, those keys don't go away. They've been there since last year. They'll be there on Sunday.
Yeah. So, I mean, they know we're going to bring it out, and we know we're going to bring it out, and we're just going to see if they can defend it.
Yeah. So. And it should be fun. It should be fun to see Tua play this chess game with Leonard Floyd and Samson Ebukam, right?
Yep.
Like, it's going to be fun, you know, making them go up and down, up and up and down.
Yeah.
And throw it past their ears. It's going to be fun. It's going to be fun.
I think in particular, Alf, because of what you brought up, and you touched on a point, in particular about Darius Williams, but Tua's had 2 weeks to study this opponent and yes, you can bet that Tua, I mean, this is his first start. He's putting a lot on this, right? I mean, and I don't really worry about nerves, like he's going to go out there and puke on his shoes like John Beck or somebody like that. But he's putting a lot on this. He's going to come over-prepared to this game, right?
I would say so. And with a chip on his shoulder, he's been hearing for the last 2 weeks that he's supposed to get killed in this game, which I found it hilarious that, you know, Vegas came out and – because they do this thing on ESPN where they say, guess the line, and everybody was saying 8. And then Vegas comes out and says 3.5. And they're like, whoa, nice. Vegas thinks that this game's going to be close. Well, you know, no shit, it's going to be close.
Well, it's at home, too. So
okay, I mean, it's, yeah, you know, the Dolphins have some advantages.
Make us an 8-point underdog at home against the team. Like, we're 3-3, and they're, yeah. Some of these people are ridiculous. But anyway, yeah. So Tua's going to come to this a little bit over-prepared, having studied. But what does over-prepared mean for Tua? Over-prepared for Tua, I think it does mean exactly what you're talking about with the chess match with the defensive players and getting in their heads and trying to figure out what they do and their tendencies. I think that's where Tua's probably expended a whole lot of his mental energy. And so it's going to be interesting because, you know, I mentioned this before, but we know about how Jerome Baker had the story about Tua's first practice. After practice, he's coming to he and Bobby McCain, and he's asking them, you know, what did you see? What did you, you know, what advice would you have as you're a defender trying to defend me? You know, like he's trying to get in their head about it. And I don't know if this is a direct result of that, but certainly when he got the job, he kind of let it slip that evidently he has film watching sessions with Brian Flores every single week, every Tuesday.
Yeah. And has, by the way, was it interesting this week that they allowed the media to witness the beginning of practice and they allowed them to see Tua run some plays? Like do they want that video out there?
Yeah, I don't know. That's funny.
Like all year during practice, they allow the media just to see their stretching and their and their warm-up session, and then they go into the bubble or they kick the media out, and then they practice, you know?
Yep.
There's also been some clandestine video. I don't know if you saw it. Did you see it?
Yes, I have, because it was somebody that, like, said that he works, like, right across the street or something like that.
Yeah,
I saw that.
Yeah, the Dolphins got to put snipers on the roof.
Don't count it out. They might try.
Yeah, but you know, you kind of saw, I started dissecting that one play, and
of course
it was an all-go route. So,
yeah,
that, you know, that's interesting, right? Four-way goes.
So Tua.
Tua.
So, So getting back to the point though, Tua, he prepares by really trying to get in defensive players' heads. I've heard, you know, somebody on Twitter told me that he and Xavier McKinney used to meet after practice, like every single day or something like that, to talk about what they saw, what each other saw in practice. This is how Tua is. This is how he likes to prepare. So, you know, you talk about that chess match. And you talk about those defensive players, I think, and how they, you know, how he reacts to them and how they're going to react to him. I think that's where a lot of the game is going to be played for him. Now, if I had one thing to add to myself, because you basically got the whole game planned out here, I would say to watch out for John Johnson. You said that they need to stay patient, or that Tua needs to stay patient.
Yes.
And take a lot of the underneath. I think John Johnson, to me, is why. I have a lot of respect for him as a safety. And if you really, if Tua does not stay patient, and he attempts to let it go, and it's not there,
yeah.
I worry. So that's my one thing on the offensive side of the ball for the Miami Dolphins. We do have to talk about. And we didn't say much about Aaron Donald. I mean, anything special?
Well, I'll say one thing about Aaron Donald. I wonder what Tua's allowed to check to, because I've found and okay, nobody take this the wrong way, all right? But you have to account for Aaron Donald. But I've found him to be essentially useless in the run game every time he lines up over the tackle, okay? Because you could just run away from him. He gets occupied with a big tackle, and he's essentially useless in the play. And I never really saw him make many plays from that position. He gets found, you know, you can find him there every once in a while. I don't know what kind of freedom Tua is going to have, but, you know, it's a good idea to get the run game going that way.
You know, if
just on mere alignment.
If he's going to have a lot of RPOs in there, RPOs kind of get, like I said, it gives you that kind of that freedom of box counting and stuff like that. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got the ability to flip plays, mirror plays and stuff. I would hope so. I mean, they're preparing him for this, hopefully.
Yeah.
Okay, so we do have to get to the other side of the ball. This is the Rams offense, of course. And this is where I think people are going to turn this into Brian Flores against Sean McVay, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the natural storyline. And this is Super Bowl rematch, right? And Brian Flores, you know, called one of the greatest defensive performances in Super Bowl history against Sean McVay. But I don't think it's about Sean McVay versus Brian Flores. I think it's about Brian Flores versus Jared Goff. Because Jared Goff was the weak link that Brian Flores attacked in that game. And he fell to pieces in that game based on what the New England defense were doing to him. And he was the weak link that they really went for. Can that be the case again? Or is Jared Goff grown too much?
Well, I watched a lot of Rams offense this week. It's the same exact offense. Nothing has changed. Only some of the faces. There's no Todd Gurley anymore. You know, I like their backs. Malcolm Brown and Darrell Henderson, those guys can play. Cam Akers, I don't know if he's all the way back yet. I don't think he's going to play. So, you know, and even if he was all the way back, it'll be his first game back from injury. So I wouldn't count on him too much. Although they really do like him. They like him, but I don't think he's going to be a factor. Mm-hmm. Their tight ends are really, really good. But Tyler Higbee is injured, and we don't know if he's going to play. If he plays, he's a factor. Absolutely a factor. Gerald Everett, I really, really like. And they have a new guy now, Johnny Munt, who's made some plays. So
what a name.
What a name, right? And then, you know, everybody outside. You know, everybody outside, they're very good players. Robert Woods, Cooper Kupp is the best slot guy in the business and, frankly, one of the best wide receivers in the game.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Van Jefferson, Josh Reynolds, they have a lot of talent on offense. But, yeah, it comes right back down to that quarterback, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the thing that I'd probably stipulate is anything different about them this year. I will say that they're not quite as – in the past, they were the most 11 personnel oriented team in football by a long shot.
Yes.
Like there was something, it was at one point, it was ridiculous. It was almost like 90%, which is just ludicrous. The rest of the league uses it an average this year about 60%. This year they're more like 71%. So they're using the tight ends a little bit more, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is what they give you a lot of 12 personnel looks. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So I mean it's there. They're not giving you 21 personnel. They don't have, you know, two running backs on the field. They don't have fullback, stuff like that. But it's they're an 11 personnel team that will come out with some two tight ends, some 12 personnel as well. Mm. And so you're going to have, I mean, in the Super Bowl, if we recall, I mean, one of the ways that, that Brian Flores attacked is by having a lot of defensive change, right? Defensive change pre-snap. Mm-hmm. He would give them one look, you know, and let, because the Rams had this thing where they'd get to the line quickly while the earpiece was still on, and so Sean McVay could feed Jared Goff, you know, information and audibles and stuff based on the defensive look. Mm-hmm. And what the New England Patriots did is they would show up at the line of scrimmage with one look, wait until the communication headset cut off, and then move into another look, and then have Jared Goff play them honest, based on his own, you know, his own abilities. And it was a disaster. It was a disaster for Jared Goff. Do you see shenanigans like that going on again, or is this like a leak in the boat that they fixed?
Yeah, I think that this is something that the Dolphins could do again, because like their rhythm is pretty much the same. Their play calling rhythm is pretty much the same. Like, they'll give you one look. Like, let's say they'll go with a twin tight end look, right? An ace, right? And then they'll come out and they'll line up on the right hash with that formation, and they'll do whatever. Let's say they run inside zone, okay, and they get 3 yards, right? They'll line up immediately in the same exact formation and either run outside zone or run a waggle boot off of it. But they like to give you, to get you lined up in the same thing two or three plays in a row, and sometimes come back to it and try to see if you're countering it the same way that you countered it earlier. But then sometimes they'll do the exact opposite. So he plays this game with formations, Sean McVay. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really interesting. He tries to get the defense self-scouting a little bit, and tries to get the defense to guess.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and, you know, trying to outsmart themselves. And then, of course, he hits him with the counter. He hits him with a play that's completely opposite of what the play of what the lineup and what the alignment and the personnel is suggesting. So it's you know, it's not rare for them to line up in 12 personnel, smash it at you, then keep the 12 personnel out there and then take a shot play with the 12 personnel, you know. So it's something that they do. And I showed it on the Yard Work series, and I actually showed video how they show you the exact same look, the exact same formation at the same hash around the same part of the field, but two quarters apart. One play happened late in the first quarter and the other play happened in the third quarter. So you're thinking, okay, it's the same thing. And then I showed how the Bears defended it exactly the same way. Well, the two plays were completely different. One was outside zone and the other one was a waggle boot. All right. Both plays successful, by the way. The waggle boot got 9 yards on second and eight, and the outside zone got them 4 yards on second and six. So, you know, that's something that they do. They try to get you to outguess them. You know, they try to get you to start playing the guessing game with them.
Mm. So, okay, so we think that there's some things that could happen that are pretty similar to are pretty familiar for Brian Flores, but one guy that I was wondering about in particular, because he was there in the Super Bowl, and I think he's going to be Brian Flores's chess piece in this game, is Kyle Van Noy, because this is a very high IQ player. This is a guy that has a feel for what's coming and what the weaknesses in the blocking scheme are. I mean, we talked long time, you know, about our Channing Crowder will tell stories about Zach Thomas. It's like, you know, if you see this, just run here. And I've also seen already just in this season and heard about plays that are similar with Kyle Van Noy and the other linebackers. And
yeah, wasn't it interesting that they essentially held him out of the Jet game? He was ready to
go. Yeah.
And they held
they're
him
making
out.
Sure he's healthy.
Yeah.
So he's going to be in there. I think he's going to be the chess piece, the guy that Brian Flores can rely on. Because again, remember the Super Bowl was about attacking Jared Goff, right? Mm-hmm. And who's your guy? Who's your right hand man that can attack Jared Goff? To me, it's Kyle Van Noy. Do you see a weakness in the offensive line or in the way that they run protections or the way that they run plays? Do you think that he can make some noise himself or can we just blitz the hell out of them?
Yeah, I would blitz the hell out of them through the A gap if I could, because first of all, Andrew Whitworth, you know, he's still doing it, and
yeah,
he's going to be in the Hall of Fame. You know, that's like, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but would it surprise you if he was a 9-time or 10-time Pro Bowler? Like, that's possible, right? So I don't know. Maybe you could look it up. But he's still playing at a high level. I like Rob Havenstein. He's a decent tackle. Okay. Corbett's okay. But, you know, yeah, blitz the hell out of him up the middle. They're fleet of foot. They run well for an offensive line. But, yeah, I would say it's in their character. It's what Miami has become now. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I was reading something the other day where they were blitzing an inordinate amount of time for Miami, and at least for the last few years, you know. So, and they're one of the most, you know, often blitzing teams in the NFL. So, yeah, I would say they're going to blitz the hell out of them and play a lot of man.
One thing to also to keep in mind about Jared Goff is the times that we've seen the Miami defense struggle this year have been with quarterbacks that, you know, very good at running. I'm very good at scrambling, very good at, you know, quarterbacks that it's, and it's not necessarily because they make magic happen against us. It's because they kind of sort of scare our defense into playing a certain way. Right. I mean, we saw them pass rush like they were scared to death of Josh Allen. Right. They're like, they're pass rushing like they're scared to death of Cam Newton. And I think that Russell Wilson, there was a little bit of that too. Although I think defensively we did a decent job against him. Well, for most of the game, this is not them, right? This is Jared Goff. This is another stationary quarterback. This is a Gardner Minshew, you know. Yes.
He does throw well on the run, especially on those waggle boots they like to run.
He is accurate. Gardner Minshew can as well. I mean, you know, this is not one of those really dangerous guys on their feet. And so this is going to be a lot like Jimmy Garoppolo, Gardner Minshew, you know, when we play the Jets. So do you think that's going to, I mean, do you think that holds? I mean, we're sort of undefeated against those types of quarterbacks right now.
Yeah.
We are undefeated against those types of quarterbacks right now.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. They're going to have to, it's going to have to hold. That's what they're going to have to do. And yeah, just get him off a spot. You know, he likes to throw at the top of his, drop. You know, it's, you know, and it's not like a lot of people are going to say, yeah, every quarterback likes to do that. Well, usually every quarterback likes to do that. Watch Patrick Mahomes throw the ball a little bit.
He's never done that.
You know what I mean?
Watch him in college and you couldn't ever even find film of it.
Yes. There's a lot of quarterbacks that don't like to throw at the top of their drop. Then you have the other guys like Dak Prescott. He's religious about throwing at the top of his drop. If you're not there at the top of his drop, he's coming off of you. So, this is one of those guys. You got to get him off of his spot. He likes to hit that back foot and let it go. It's 2.5, 2.5, 2. He has it in his head. So, yeah, if you can move him just a little bit, he tends to drop the football. It's just a fact. He drops the football from his chest to covering it up every time you bring pressure in. He's very mindful of fumbling the ball. So, you know, guess what? It's very hard to throw the football if you're dropping the football like a runner. You know what I mean? So if you could get him off the spot,
so
it's half the battle won right there.
So if we're imagining sort of how this game could go well for the LA Rams, like, you know, offensively, you know,
Cooper Kupp, 15 catches, 225 yards. That's how
there. Yeah, exactly. So what, I mean, when I mentioned that Dolphins have the most spaced out offense in the NFL, guess who has the most closed in offense in the NFL?
Yeah, it's the Rams, because they like to hug Cooper Kupp into the line, and they like to work him on those little option routes. And I think that's where they find success in two ways. And I said this on the Rams podcast I was on this afternoon. They run against the Dolphins nickel with Malcolm mm-hmm. Brown and Daryl Henderson.
Yes.
And they hit Cooper Kupp incessantly on these little option routes over the middle. Now, the Dolphins have a hell of a counter for that. It's called Byron Jones. You paid him $75 million, or what did they pay him? $85 million? So
he should be. I mean, as much as we talk about Jalen Ramsey being used as their guy, you know, this would be a hell of a time for Byron Jones to step up.
Yeah, and this was ever the game.
He can play any position in the secondary.
Yeah, if this was ever the game to just go with, you know, basketball assignments, it would be this one, okay? Yeah. It would be Xavier, guess what? Robert Woods is your guy, mm-hmm. all right? And guess what, Byron? You're traveling with Cooper Kupp, which means you're going to play a lot in the slot. And, you know, and it's nothing strange to him. He played a lot in the slot in Dallas, so this should be something that he should embrace. In fact, he's played against Cooper Kupp in the playoffs. So, I should have dug up some film on that to see how he did against Cooper Kupp in the playoffs that year. So, yeah, that's how I would play it. But that's how they have success.
That closed in offensive formationing. I mean, that's going to help them against. I would tend to think that would help them against a very man-oriented coverage. Because it, with such tight spacing like that, you can't be as conservative about your bump. You can't and your spacing and because you can get rubbed, right? I mean, you got guys that can come aside of you. So I'd be a little bit worried if I was trying to have Xavier Howard travel and just match up with Robert Woods everywhere. Because I think that Xavier Howard is going to get whammed and knocked off a route, and then, you know, bam, that just popped that open for 65 yards. Yeah. And that's what I kind of get a little bit concerned about. So this could be a good matchup that way. So if they're going to beat us, it's just with this quick game to Cooper Kupp, who finds success against our coverage. Because maybe we have to play a little bit too softer than we would ultimately like. But also it's what you said. It's the ground game. To me, that's what I'm looking at. And one of the reasons I find them so boring is they'll hit us on the ground. I mean, they have a potent zone ground game to me. They have a potent outside zone, inside zone. And I think that they can get us moving and find some spaces. And I'm, you know, I'd be a little bit worried about that.
Absolutely.
Another thing
that shows up on film is their shot plays. All their shot plays are the same. All of them.
Yeah.
They're all off of play action. They're all
built off that ground game.
Yeah. And they all have the boot element and
it
usually comes off the same formation that they ran on you earlier. So if you're going to play the guessing game, mm-hmm. I guess if you watch a formation and if you see it again, it's time to turn around and say, hey, you know, they're showing mm-hmm. us the same exact motion, the same exact formation, again on the same hash, roughly around the same part of the field. So it's time to be mindful for them to do something that's exactly the opposite, right?
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, absolutely. So
and Sean McVay is watching, right? So so if you play it a certain way one time, you know, and they show you the same look again, don't play it the exact same way.
Yeah, or you could do what the Bears did, which, and by the way, the Bears have a great defense. Okay. So I'm not saying anything bad about them, but you could do what the Bears did. Just play it exactly the same way and get beat both times. You know?
Yeah. That's not recommended.
No, that's not recommended.
But seriously, I mean, that's probably one of the keys that they're talking about right now. So have we missed anything on this side of the ball? Is there anything that that in particular?
Battle
that...
of the punters, man. Who's better? Let's put our cards on the table.
There we go.
Hecker all week has been getting all, and I'm starting another Twitter war on this because I think it's unfortunately I think this one has the most merit out of all the Twitter wars I've tried to start. Honey, Hecker, oh my God. Like, they almost put this guy in the Hall of Fame on Monday, all right? Mm-hmm. And all week they're calling him, they're talking about him as if he's the best punter in football. Guess who's having a better season than he is? Not Hack. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to jump up and down and talk about how great Hecker is at getting balls down inside the 10-yard line, he's played one more game. I believe he has two more than Hack. So Hack could catch up in this game. So, yeah, I'll give the edge to the Dolphins, all right, in the kicking
game. The punter battle. Like, that's the that's the battle.
By the way, I went on this Rams podcast, and they seem to be very, very concerned with Sean McVay's ego play calling, because they keep begging to run the ball 35 times, and they end up not getting the balance that they want.
So interesting. So the fans, they also want that.
Yeah, they also think that their field goal kicker is awful. So
they're accusing Sean McVay of just falling too easily in the pass.
Yes.
I see. Well, this is the game. This can honestly be a game. You know, it'll be just our luck. This is the game when he stays disciplined and calls the run all day, and the run is really potent against us, and we just I mean, that's I'm just throwing that out there.
Now let me ask you a question, okay? And then we could go right to predictions and get out of here.
Okay.
One question. Rookie quarterbacks lose, Chris. They just lose.
They do.
Why is this one different?
Well, it's not that it's different. It's that I think this is a good game for us to have a bye week heading into. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good game for, and this is kind of a preview of where I'm going with predictions. This is a good game to have a head coach who's also, you know, heavily involved with the defensive side of the ball, who called one of the best Super Bowl defensive performances anybody's ever seen against this offensive coach. It's a good game for the other side of them, the other guys to be coming in off a short week and be traveling. Right. Mm-hmm. They played a Monday night football game, and now they're traveling down to Miami from LA.
After playing an extremely physical football game against.
Yeah, definitely. And so it's a good week. It's a good week. These are the reasons why this game to me is a little bit different. You know, I think extra week of preparation, getting everybody healthy, less time preparation for the other guys, having a defensive coach who, you know, the extra prep time probably matters. Mm-hmm. Having a rookie quarterback, you know, that the extra prep time matters for that. Right.
Yes.
So, you know, it's not that every game we're just going to come out and say, oh, Tua's going to win. He's not going to lose a game. You know, I just think that there's some things going in this game, I probably just gave my game prediction right there.
Well, let's give the predictions. I'll give mine right now. There are things that the Rams do on defense that Tua's had a lot of success against. If they attempt that and they cut Tua loose, Tua could be in for a huge day. But I don't think that that's what they're going for. I think he's going to be executing, I wouldn't say a limited game plan, but a very focused game plan. And I think Tua's going to be really mindful of all the stuff that the Rams do actually give you. So you could have what is essentially a boring football game. Mm-hmm. All right. And I do trust the Dolphins defense to keep it close. And I think the Dolphins find themselves in the first real close game where they actually win and pull it out. And I think they win it with a Jason Sanders field goal. They win it 23-20.
Okay. Wow. That's.
And if I could predict, since we have a contest with Tua Tagovailoa.
I was going to say that.
Okay, we had the contest, you know, who catches his first pass, how many yards, and passer rating. I'm going to go ahead and say Myles Gaskin catches his first pass, right?
Okay.
He throws for 247 yards, and he has a passer rating of 97.
This is very specific.
Yes.
So what I went I'll go in reverse order. You called Tua's game. I was on with Ethan, and I thought, you know, we're talking like 19 of 30 for like maybe 200 yards, with two touchdowns and one interception. I don't know what that passer rating is, but that's kind of where I'm thinking about with, this game. 'Cause as you say, he's got to stay patient in this one. and there's going to be a lot of there's going to be a lot of RPO here, and so they're going to be patient with the run game. They're going to keep working the run game. So that's one thing. I think the Dolphins do win this game. I mean, I've explained a lot of those reasons already. I think this is a good game for Miami to have the extra week for, and this is not a great game for the Rams to not have the extra prep time for.
Yeah.
Or at least for Jared Goff. See, I'm not worried about Sean McVay. Sean McVay has been thinking about placing Brian Flores again for a while.
Yes.
I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I'm not worried about him. He's probably got, you know, he's like a chess player. Like he's played this behind his eyelids for a while. And that's cool. I don't think I just have a strong disagreement with a lot of other people about who that chess match really was, who the players in that chess match really were in that Super Bowl. And I think it was about Jared Goff, and Jared Goff may not have had the prep time to face Brian Flores again, coming off a short week and having to travel from LA to Miami. And so I think that there's a possibility that this is just one of those quarterbacks that, that Brian Flores's defenses are going to do damage against. That's just my feeling. So I'm going to say that, the Dolphins are going to win this one. You know, I think that it could be, I'm tempted to go with the same score you did, but you know, let's hit with something like a 20-17 battle. And I think that, I think the Dolphins come away victorious. And my prediction, first pass is going to be caught by Devontae Parker, and it's going to be on an RPO, because that's who you're going to be throwing to on an RPO is Devontae Parker on an in-breaking route. Mm-hmm. So I think that's the very, you know, they're going to start the game off like, hey, you know, this is coming. We knew this was coming. This is what happened. So yeah. I think that's how they're going to start the game.
It will be cool if it's a waggle boot bomb to Preston Williams, though. That'd be fun.
Oh man.
If they,
yeah. I mean, like that's so, I mean, getting back to that just real quick. I mean, they could put Troy Hill out on the outside. Yes, he's Troy played Hill's on the outside plenty.
I like him.
He's yeah.
Good on t-
yeah. Outside. So, I mean, so if they're going to throw, you know, after we say that Darius is a weak link and all that, if they kind of anticipate that, then they could preempt it. So look for that. And also, I've been talking about this for how long, you know, Tua Tagovailoa starts throwing passes to Jakeem Grant. If he plays in the game and he actually gets in on offense, don't be surprised if he makes a little noise. He can run after catch. This is the defense you want to run after the catch for. And he gets into his route so freaking fast. And that's exactly what Tua Tagovailoa needs, because yes. He gets through his footwork so friggin' fast. Yeah. I mean, these two players are light speed with light speed. Okay. When it comes to getting into their routes or getting into the action. And so I just think that there's a compatibility. There's a timing compatibility there that could work. So don't be surprised if Jakeem finally, I mean, the last game, didn't he lead them in receiving? You know, so, I mean, don't be surprised if he gets a little, I mean, that's the guy Tua completed the only third down of the game last against the Jets. The only third down conversion we had was Tua Tagovailoa to Jakeem Grant. Just saying, just throwing that out there.
Yeah, and I also said it on the Yardwork series. They let you take shots at Ramsey, so don't be surprised if the Dolphins, if they're getting froggy, if they feel froggy, don't be surprised if they line up in 22 personnel and try to design a shot play on Jalen Ramsey just by that formation. So. You know,
yeah, I think Jakeem Grant versus Taylor Rapp. Give me that. Let me try it in the open yes. field. Just let me try that.
Anyway. On the way out here, we give you a great preview.
Like Al said, we gave you a great episode, a great preview. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We will see you guys on Monday when we hopefully are reviewing the game, hopefully the victory, and hopefully we get to tell you about how right we were. Let's hope. But anyway, until then, see you guys later.
E ala e. Mahalo.
Ah.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.